Welcome to Target Talks. I'm Sarah Bryars, Chief Executive at Target, an award-winning communications agency, and I'm joined by my co-host and fellow director, Sam Candiali.
Hi there.
In the conversations we're having with our clients, we know that more and more organisations are thinking about their purpose and how they enact it.
In this series, we explore the value of purpose-led communications and how we can deliver purposeful PR. We'll be chatting with guests with a wide range of specialisms and views on the topic.
So, if you're thinking about how you and your organisation can be a force for good, this podcast is here to help you on your journey.
In this episode, we'll be chatting with our guest, Luann Wise, about how we can use social media to communicate an organisation's purpose. Luann is a chartered marketer and fellow of the Chartered Institute of Marketing, a LinkedIn Learning course instructor and accredited lead trainer for Meta, a regular guest speaker at university business schools across the UK, and an award-winning author. In addition to training thousands of business professionals across the world through online and in-person courses, Luann provides social media consultancy to clients from household brands to higher education institutions and high growth SMEs. Luann, welcome.
Hello.
You're a highly qualified and very experienced marketer. So when did you decide to focus your career on social media? How did that come about?
Well, for someone that I would like to say I'm very much a planner, and you know this, I write everything down and I write lists and I plan. It wasn't planned. It really wasn't planned. And there's a bit of a story, because I was at an industry dinner in 2007. So I had recently left agency world as an account manager and moved client side. And I was at an industry dinner and I sat next to an amazing gentleman who started talking to me about social media. And I said, but I've been doing this for a long time, and I've done print and I've done radio and I've done outdoor and I've done this and I've done that. I'm fine with what I'm doing as a marketer. He said, well, let me tell you a bit more. And he did. And I said, no, I don't think it's going to take off, this LinkedIn thing.
It won't last.
And the dinner progressed and the conversation progressed, and I was being quite adamant that I didn't think it was going to take off. I knew everything I needed to do as a marketer. I was doing all right. And we ended the conversation by saying, okay, well, we'll agree to disagree. And if you ever want to talk about this more or change your mind, give me a call. And about 6 months later, it was at that time where you probably remember, you were just getting loads of LinkedIn invites into your inbox and going, what is this? Why do people want to connect with me? What is this all about? So I think there was like a snow day and I started kind of playing around and thinking, actually, this is quite interesting. Picked up the phone and said, I'd like to have that conversation now. And in the nicest possible way, I met up with him and his business partner. They locked me in a room with them for 2 days and literally just shared everything they knew about what was happening in social media, LinkedIn in particular. And from that point, I was hooked.
That was the beginning of a whole story.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons that I didn't think it was going to take off was because I was working in the postal industry and direct mail. So to be, as a marketer, heavily absorbed into one channel and then thinking, how can we use a different channel to communicate something offline, was something I quite struggled with. But actually, it became more and more important over the next few years because there was postal strikes. So how do you communicate real time? We needed to use social media, and yeah, I just loved the real-time nature of it and the conversations that you could have and how it leveled the platform, and you could just start meeting people all over the world and having these great conversations. So yeah, I was kind of hooked once I was convinced.
And so were you using social media yourself personally at that time, or was that new to you as well?
It was all new to me, and I think LinkedIn was one that I started first. So this was early 2007. So LinkedIn had been around, is a bit older.
Yeah.
Facebook only came to the UK in 2006. So Facebook was probably still a little bit too early for friends and family to kind of start doing this. I would say I'm often quite an early adopter of a platform, but at the same time, I still like to sit and wait and see what other people are doing and respond to invitations. So I was probably, unlike many people now, using social media in a work context before a personal context. Right.
That's interesting, isn't it? And I think what was really clear at that time when it was all new was the why you would use a channel. So, I mean, when LinkedIn started, it was all about
jobs
and recruitment. Yeah.
So, it's very much CV. This is my CV. Look at my experience and my qualifications, and do you want to have a chat?
Yeah, so amazing how the world of social has changed. And obviously your role now is to be right at the forefront of keeping track of the constant evolutions and how we use social and how we use social as in a mix. And obviously we're talking about its role and how it can support us in purposeful communications. But before we crack into that, I'm just interested in what does a typical day look like for you now? Because you're doing so many different things, aren't you?
I am, and that's probably a huge challenge. So I said I worked agency side, I've worked client side, and I've now run my own consultancy for 12 years. I think the way I am is that no 2 days are the same, and I wouldn't want 2 days to be the same, but there are common themes. And you said about kind of staying at the forefront, and that's a challenge, but something that I love doing. And so my day, every day, starts with the news, reading. Well, maybe because some of these platforms are US specific, so, you know, everything happens overnight and you have to read it the next morning. So I start off by reading TechCrunch and Social Media Examiner and Social Media Today. I have a Feedly reader set up with all the main business news. So I'm trying to see what's happening that day, looking at trending content. You know, what do I need to know about? What's going to change? What could happen? And then my day kind of evolves into working with clients. I work with clients ad hoc. Projects, retainers, and then a fair amount of teaching and training as well, which, again, wasn't planned. And I fell into and put my hand up one day in a meeting. I went, yeah, I'll do a talk on that. But I think the things, all of those work really well together. So if I'm teaching and training, I have to think about how I do things and how others could do things and respond to their questions. And then when I'm working with clients, the same thing. But I learn from every which way possible of kind of planning the teaching and getting the feedback and then what's going to work with clients and vice versa. So I love having the mix, but no 2 days are really the same.
Lots of variety.
Yeah.
And when we come on to think about, you know, certainly in terms of my career, when I started out, I actually did a degree in PR. Social media wasn't a thing back then, you know, but now it's something that's very much our role, you know, for our team here at Target. Why is social media so important in the PR industry today?
I think it is important. And the stats are now like 60% of the global population are using social media. Yeah. We should remember that that's still 40% that aren't using social media. And we shouldn't forget that. And that, you know, it's not everything, but it is really important if there's so many people there and so many people using different platforms. And the way people are using social media is changing so much now. It's not just for friends and family or recruitment. It is about entertainment, it's about finding holidays, it's about what we buy, what we wear, what we consume. But I think for PR, if we think about the definition of PR about being your reputation and reputation management and getting your information out to others to know, like and trust you, that's why social media is so important, because it's the channel that people are using. So we need to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the whole reason behind this podcast series is all about purpose at the end of the day, the why an organisation exists. How do you think social media can be used to communicate an organisation's purpose?
I think it has to underpin everything that people are putting out on social media. Mm. And one of the biggest challenges with social media is, well, one, you set up your accounts and you do it really quickly because you want to dive in and start posting. That's another lesson. You know, you need to spend some time thinking about what platforms you're using, are you set up, meeting people's expectations. But then once you're set up, there's often this, like, what do I do now? What do I post? What am I going to write? And if you know what your organisation is trying to achieve, and everyone within your organisation knows what you're trying to achieve, the people doing the posting on the social media platforms, then that purpose should be an absolute red thread underlying everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because we have to remember that if we're doing this for our organisation, we are doing it for a purpose, to let people know who we are, what we do, what our values are, our mission, to sell stuff. Yeah. This isn't about letting our friends and family know what we're up to today. There is a reason that we're using these platforms and communicating and getting our messages across. So I think it's absolutely fundamental.
And it's actually expressing the whole, what makes you different as an organisation, isn't it? The culture. Yeah. the lived values within an organisation, and if they were missing from our social media platforms and the way that we communicate, then it would be very strange. It would be a disconnect, wouldn't it, with who we say we are and what we're actually doing.
Yeah, and I did a recent interview for an undergraduate student dissertation, and one of her questions about personal brand was, what's different about you online and offline? It's like, nothing. Yeah. I am one person, and yes, offline you may get to know more about me and we have more one-to-one conversations and go into more depth, but at the same time, online and on social media, I am the same person, and I'm trying to get people to know, like, and trust me to do business with me and come along to learning courses and things like that. So that's also something people really struggle with, is putting themselves out there, having those conversations. And I think sometimes if you can see social media as that platform for business and communicating, then actually you can almost in a way disconnect part of yourself from that, the fear of my personal information as such, to go, well, this is what I need to communicate and these are the messages, and I want people to know what I believe in, or that I value this, or that I love reading about the news, or these are the people that I collaborate with. So I think it's about, a lot of it's about mindset and how we go about it.
And that might be particularly challenging, I guess, if you're a consultant. So if your profession is very much about you, then I can imagine that sense of, am I oversharing or not, might be part of that deliberation. But of course, many of our clients are actually kind of corporate entities, or they're charities, or they're larger organisations where it's about us portraying what's at the heart of that organisation, and that needs to be authentic, but not necessarily me as an individual.
Yeah, I think there's challenges both ways. Like, yeah, as a consultant, I work for myself, perhaps in more control of my own destiny than perhaps, you know, I'll do a training course and people may say that's fine for you, but we're an employee and we're bound by contracts and terms, and I get that. But if you know why you get up in the morning and why you work for the organisation you do and how you serve your customers and what you're doing, I think ultimately what you need to do is know your own boundaries and feel comfortable with what you're sharing. I share a lot on social media, but I don't share everything, you know, on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram. It is planned, and I think it's authentic, but at the same time, I've still had some thinking behind, these are the kind of things I want people to know about or what I'm going to share. But if I had a real strong opinion on something, I'd probably send an email or a WhatsApp or a screenshot to a friend or have it in a one-to-one conversation. I've already had that thought process that this isn't something I feel comfortable sharing with 950 million people.
Yeah. It's a very public platform by its nature.
So, Luann, how can businesses use social media, not just to sell? And how important is that?
I don't think social media is for selling, unless you're an e-commerce brand and you've got the shop now buttons. There isn't really a buy now button. And I think for someone to read a social media post and go, oh yeah, I want to work with them, I'm going to hit a button, life just doesn't work like that. There is the concept of social selling, which is about building relationships. And that's what I think social media is great for, of staying visible, communicating your purpose, and then people get to know you until the time is right to have a coffee or a meeting. But the other part about social media is, it's the brilliant quote by Stephen Covey, and, you know, the highly effective leader, of people listen with the intent to reply, not to understand. And I think social media is such a brilliant place. If you ask me what my ideal day would look like, I'd say just sitting with dashboards, looking at columns, looking at what people are talking about and conversations to understand what's going on in the world. What do we need to do in response to that? Like I said, about reading the news and what people are saying about brands and how they need to respond. So social media is seen as something that's all about posting content and pushing things out there. I think that should just be a really small part of what you do and use it to listen and understand. And Sarah, do you want to pick up on the early conversations we had in 2020?
Yeah, oh my goodness. And how everything changed, obviously, with COVID and lockdowns. For everybody, so much changed overnight. And I remember us having conversations about what's appropriate for us to be posting for clients. And there was almost a kind of, let's just pause and listen and feel what's happening around us as to what feels like the right tone. And certainly there were conversations with clients about now is not the time to be posting about your latest products.
Yeah.
You know, because actually there's something so much bigger that's happening that's impacting on all of us, our employees, our customers, our families, and ourselves. So there are moments like that, aren't there, where you have to just be aware of what's happening around you and adjust the way that we communicate and the way that we respond to the communities that we're building around us on social.
It was such an incredible time for actually stopping doing what we're doing as normal and thinking about doing something differently in a different way and why we're doing it. And if we think back to the terminology we were using, didn't we use the word pivot for quite a long time? And then it was like, no, we're done with that. Yeah. Then it was new normal. No, we're done with that. And that's about pop culture and trending and the environment. So I think actually social media really helps us understand the language people are using, like you said, tone of voice, how empathetic we need to be. So it wasn't just COVID. You know, a year later, we then had Black Lives Matters. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, housing issues, now cost of living. It's understanding what people are thinking and feeling and how we need to respond to that. And you're right, communities are a key focus for social media. It's how people kept in touch during COVID. It's where you find your peers, have the conversations, know what people are worried about, what's broken and needs fixing.
And we worked with retailers who had to close during lockdown. And so the nature of our briefs evolved from that. And social media was actually a really important way of being able to take your community with you. So we didn't want to lose them. We didn't want to lose contact with them. The relationships, the vibe that we had, the connections. And so bringing them to us through social was actually really important for a couple of clients of ours, actually. From one extreme of, a massive retailer, but also through to a charity shop that had literally got to close its charity shop overnight. But they had this amazing relationship with their community. And we took them through online. And for them, actually, there was a selling job to do because actually they needed to keep their income coming by moving to e-commerce. And they pivoted really quickly to do that. And then there's those that we work with who provide a healthcare need that was really important to say, we're still here. We're still open. So that kind of brings us on, I think, to thinking about how important it is to engage and interact with the social media audience. And what are the good ways of doing that?
I think, again, this is, social media is not just about posting. It's not just about listening. This is about putting the social into social media. And it means that you can't just kind of post and run. You've got to listen to the comments that come. You've got to interact with the comments. And so I think my rules would be social on social media and, you know, post when you know you're going to be available and make the time available to check in. And Sam, we saw that on a client we've worked on together for a number of years about how important it was to respond to their comments and actually the influencers that we worked with as well, that, you know, they wanted acknowledgement of their content. Absolutely. And for us to be sharing it. And it is so important for people to feel that they are part of the community, that they are loved by a brand as well. You know, a lot of the time people's first interaction with a brand on social media is a customer care issue or a user-generated content, and if a brand doesn't respond to that, you feel really kind of put out. And on the flip side, Sam, didn't we see that when we mentioned people or shared their content,
tag them in a picture or whatever, the amount of feedback and engagement that we got on the result of that,
it was the best thing in the world, wasn't it? And we didn't have to create more content, we just had to make sure that we were engaging with the audience. So I think the rules are keep in the conversation, carry on having a conversation, and make people feel that they're part of it. Be social.
And that's just as important for a brand or an organisation that's communicating with businesses as it is with consumers.
Yeah, and as the individuals within the business as well. If you think about LinkedIn, is much more the individuals, and, you know, we all do it. If you post something, you want people to put comments on it. And I did a post the last few days and people commented, and you don't just want them to comment. You need to go back and say thank you or really appreciate that. Or also think about moving it into a private message as well. There's this difference between acknowledging people publicly, but if you want to have more of a conversation and build that relationship further, don't be afraid to kind of move it into the private domain. And I'll use public conversations to then send someone a message going, thanks so much for that comment. You know, really appreciate it. We really should catch up. Let's put a date in the diary and do more. So it's what I would call a conversation trigger for that bigger conversation, and acknowledge who's liking your stuff and who's commenting on it, and use that as a reason to build that business relationship when we're using this for social selling.
Yeah, that's good point, actually. We probably don't do enough of that.
I think we forget about it. We think about our time on social media as, I need to do this number of posts per week, and I need to go out at this time, and I need to have a hashtag, and I need to do this, and I need to do that, and so much to think about that we forget about actually the nice part of it. And again, my ideal day, listening with dashboards and reading comments.
Yeah.
I could read people's comments on posts all day. And I learn as much about, going back to that kind of what people are thinking, what people are feeling. I will go to key celebrities, if we want to call them that, and see what they're saying and see what people are saying in response to it. Mm. And that is how I understand what people are thinking about current issues, is the conversations. Because as we know, particularly on X, formerly Twitter, people don't hold back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which can be a real reputation challenge, actually, can't it?
It absolutely can. From the brand's point of view, you need to know what's being said. But also, I think there's a key point here that I don't need to be actively posting on that platform to find it valuable and to use it for insights.
Yes.
And I can take those insights into other platforms or other parts of my work.
Yeah.
But yeah, for a brand, if there's any conversations, you've got to be monitoring the keywords, monitoring it and acknowledging it, and doing that quite quickly as well.
We're doing that with a client at the moment, actually, who doesn't have a stream on Twitter, but their audiences do.
Yeah.
So they're listening, and there's some really big issues happening within their world that they are not directly related to, but they just need to be really mindful of how those issues might be impacting on their customers and their community. So the listening exercise, which I guess is true of all comms, isn't it? We should be listening as much as we're talking.
But out of that listening isn't just, we're probably in our heads going, oh, crisis management, something's being negative. It's not. It's about sometimes turning that into opportunities. If people are asking questions like, do you do this? No, we don't, but we could. Mm. Or, you know, or what people are saying about competitors. But we're recording this at lunchtime, so I'm starting to think about food. And the best example I have of this is KFC, when they ran out of chicken. Chicken brand running out of chicken. And they were praised in the industry press for turning that crisis into just a brilliant campaign. They acknowledged it, they apologised, they turned it into a whole press campaign, a PR campaign. And so it's about listening for how you can then get involved in the right way, whether it's something you need to manage or actually go, we can take this, we can piggyback on this, and we can do something fun and create even more loyalty than we had before.
And there was an authenticity in the way they responded, which I guess brings us back to the whole sense of how do we evoke our own organisational culture, values, purpose, through the way that we communicate. And I wonder whether, Luan, there are like three practical tips maybe you could share with our listeners for delivering purposeful PR through social media.
You almost said one of my tips then is like, if you're going to do this, you have to know what your purpose is. And everyone in the business has to know what their purpose is and live and breathe that. Because what we're doing on social media, and the best content on social media, is storytelling. It's kind of drip feeding those messages all the time. I'm working on this. We'll all do a post later, won't we? If we've just recorded a podcast and tell this story, and that's what we're doing. So you have to have done that work on knowing, this is my purpose, this is my why, this is why I do what I do and work for the company, and this is why they do what they do, and they should be aligned. So that's the first tip, is do that prep work and understand it, and make sure everyone around you understands that as well. Because we're talking about this from an organisation's point of view, I think it's also important to empower your employees to do that as well. This isn't just a mission statement that got written on a really nice document or an annual report.
Yeah.
This is about making sure that everyone does live it and knows how to live it, and that you empower people to do it. So social media can't just be one thing that's done by the person that's got the username and password. This has to be done by everyone that is active on social media and hopefully sharing it, because that's where LinkedIn works, where Instagram stories are going, you know, to be sharing. And people want to be proud of the organisation they work for as well. So I think there needs to be this piece of work internally as well to say, we want you all to get involved, and this is how you do it. And, you know, it's okay for you to do it as well. We've got through a session without talking about data and measurement. So my third tip would be, look at your own data, and then you will find out what's working what's not working, in terms of what's resonating. What are people engaging with? Mm. What are they commenting on? How have you been able to develop that into conversations? So the answers are in your own data. You need to measure it and just see, you know, are your purpose comms hitting the mark, or do you need to tweak them slightly, or something that you weren't really expecting to land really well got loads of engagement on it. So do more of that. So know your purpose, empower your employees, and use the insights to do more of what's working.
And so, Luann, we know that you've been working on a very exciting project, or two, or three.
Have I mentioned it?
Are you able to tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah. So the reason for three is because I've written two on my third book. That's what I've been working on. I self-published my first book back in 2016 and wanted to write a second version. Started that in 2020, but, you know, some other things mm-hmm. kind of got in the way and changed. The second version of the book turned into something completely new, but is almost ready. It may be ready by the time this podcast is released. I'm at the final stages of proofreading, so I have a new book called Planning for Success, which is all about creating your social media plan. But as I was writing this book, which has taken me about 3 years to write, but it's nearly there, started having conversations with Bloomsbury about another book. And so, as you do, ended up committing to three books over the next 2 years, all about social media. And actually, from a marketer's point of view, it really helped me because I was writing my book and hit a few walls. And then this other opportunity came along and I actually kind of went, well, actually, I could split this into two for very clear audiences and reasons. One is much more about planning and what goes into planning. One is about much more about how to use social media to grow your business and case studies for growth. Mm. So, you know, relevant for everyone working in social media, but slightly different takes on the topics. And so that's what I've been working on for a long time. And I have talked about it a lot. So thank you for listening to me and for reading it in advance, Sam.
And a sneak preview.
Yeah, they're coming out soon. I've also done the audiobook, and I think I've got another book in me for next year as well. And then I'll be done.
Are you sure? I think you're going to keep going.
No, I think one husband would kill me.
Oh, it's been great to chat to you today, Luann. I know we work together closely anyway, but, you know, it's always useful to be reminded of some of those key points and your three kind of key takeaways as well. For me personally, it's that reminder that social media is can be used for so many different things, I think, these days, in terms of, you know, we know about Generation Z, you know, using social media for search, you know, so much more, I think, so much more that we as an organisation can take away from that in terms of our own research and insight. Too. So if any of our listeners want to get in touch or find you online, how can they go about doing that?
I'm on social media, so you can find me, search for my name. I'm lucky enough to have a unique name and grab all the handles. So you will find me on LinkedIn, X, Facebook, Instagram and TikTok.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Target Talks. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at @targetprchats and LinkedIn at @targetpr. To find out more about what we do, go to targetgroup.co.uk.
If there are any topics you'd like us to cover or any guests you'd love to hear from, then please get in touch via our social channels.
Bye.